God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson about the return of Jesus Christ. The encouraging word. Today, Dr. Don Wilson takes us to the book of Acts, chapter 1, as we begin to study about what it is we have to look forward to in the return of Jesus Christ. We don't fear His coming. It's what the Bible calls our blessed hope. As we study the Word together, know that we're here for you. We'd love to connect with you on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Right now, there are wonderful resources available, including a fresh book from Dr. Wilson's good friend, Dr. Charles Stanley, and a message from Dr. Wilson to go with that as well. Take a peek right now on our website at tewonline.org. But right now, let's open our hearts and God's Word together with Dr. Don Wilson on today's message.
I'm going to speak to you this morning on a timeless truth that is remarkable beyond description, the return of Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts and chapter 1. The return of Jesus Christ, the book of Acts and chapter 1. People, get ready. Jesus is coming soon. The return of Jesus Christ. I'm going to put this into context today, and I want to read to you from Acts chapter 1, because Acts chapter 1 puts the return of Jesus Christ into its rightful context. So you follow along with me. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day He was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen, after His suffering on the cross, He showed Himself to these men, and He gave many convincing proofs, what? That He was alive. Now, by the way, have you ever wondered how long Jesus was on the earth between the time that He rose from the grave and the time that He went and ascended to be with God in heaven? Now, the Bible says that He appeared to the disciples and to others, and He gave them many convincing proofs that He was alive. How long did He do that for? Well, it tells us right here. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. It's a long time. And He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, now if we can just hold on there for a moment, everybody watch me. I want to jump ahead. Next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching on the reunion that we have with our loved ones. Have you ever wondered if you're going to see your loved ones again? Maybe your mother, your father, your brother, sister, maybe a child who has died, and are you going to see them again? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible tell us about that? And how do we know these things? Next week, I'm going to be preaching on this incredible subject, because the Bible has a lot to say about it. And folks, it begins right here. You see, the reunion that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ is tied into the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus Christ was about. Now, I want you to look here with me, and we're going to see it written down there. Look here, for example. Now, Jesus died, remember, and He rose. On one occasion in verse 4, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." What's He talking about? Well, if you turn over the page to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, you're going to read about what He was talking about. He says there, "When the day of Pentecost came." Now, folks, look here. Here's what happened. Jesus was on this earth. He was crucified. He rose from the dead. He appeared to His disciples and to others for 40 days. He taught them, showed them about Himself. And then He announced that He was going to leave them. They were scared to death. They were going to be abandoned by the One who had taken care of them, by the One they had grown to love so intensely. Jesus said, "Hold on a minute. I want you to know something. After I have gone to heaven, I'm going to send someone, not an it, not something, someone to you, And his name is the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. That's the doctrine of the Trinity. Three in one. I'm going to go to be with my Father, God the Father. The Son is going to be with him. And while I'm gone, I'm going to send my Spirit. And my Spirit is going to come down upon you at Pentecost. And at Pentecost, all people are going to be indwelt and filled by the Holy Spirit, by my Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. Now, Jesus was telling them this because he wanted them to know that there was a direct correlation between the coming of the Holy Spirit in his absence, if you please, while he is in heaven, and the point at which Jesus would come back again. And Jesus is about to ascend and leave, and he's about to tell his disciples something very special. So he says in verse 6, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Maybe the disciples were still a little bit fuzzy about what Jesus said. Maybe they were still grappling with his messiahship. Maybe they didn't quite fully understand. Jesus said, I'm going to restore my kingdom. What kingdom? The kingdom of heaven, the one over which I have full reign and authority. The disciples said, but hey, wait a minute, you're leaving us. How are you going to restore your kingdom? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. Folks, watch me. We're coming up to the year 2000. I'm already beginning to hear some TV preachers making statements like, Jesus Christ is coming back in January. Folks, do not believe that. Do not send your money into them. Now why? There it is. It is not for you to know the dates or the times that the Father, God the Father, has set, how? By his own authority. Only God knows that. Now we can talk about the signs of the times, that's fine. But nobody can say Jesus Christ is coming back at any specific time because God says we are not going to know that. That is something that only God knows. So what is he going to do in the meantime? Look at verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After this, he was taken up before their very eyes. Where's heaven, by the way? Up, all point up. Point up, go on. You're pointing to where you're going. Very important. Heaven is up, it's not down. How do we know that? Well, look at this. He was taken up before their very eyes. And what hid him from their sight? A cloud. Where are clouds, by the way? Everybody do this. Up, they're up. You won't find any clouds down there, I promise you. All right? Verse 11. They were looking intently up. Where? Into the sky as he was going. He was in motion. He didn't vanish. He was going. He was moving up into heaven. And the disciples were standing there with their mouths open. They were looking intently. They were absolutely thunderstruck when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? Here it is. The same Jesus who has been taken from you will come back in the same way you have seen him go up into heaven. I want to speak to you this morning about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. People, get ready. Jesus is coming soon. Well, I believe that there are people who think all kinds of things about the second coming. Some couldn't care less. Some people couldn't care less. Some people have a mild interest. I think we would agree with that. Some people are rather a tad bit inquisitive. They want to know just a little more about it. Some people are skeptical. Some people are openly hostile. Steve, I remember one prison we were in, and I'd got through preaching. We had many, many give their lives and make decisions for Jesus Christ. But there were two men sitting over on my left side that I'm telling you, brother, if looks could kill, I would have been dead. They didn't like it one bit. Some people are very hostile. Some people are argumentative. They want to have a debate over it. Some people absolutely refuse to believe. But some people believe that Jesus Christ is coming back and people are getting ready for that. The question that I want to ask today is, what does the Bible say about this? Well, let's look at it. The Bible says a number of things about the second coming, about the return of Jesus. First of all, we must understand that the second coming or the return of Jesus Christ is a clear promise. It is a clear promise. I want you to page back with me to John chapter 14. Everybody turn back to John 14. I love to hear those pages of God's book rustling. You know why that's important? Because actually I've got nothing to say about this. This is what God says to us. Amen? John chapter 14. Listen to what happens here. It is a clear promise of God. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now let's just stop there for a moment. I love that, don't you? Isn't that something? Isn't it amazing that Jesus Christ, in His humanity, the God-man, understood most perfectly just exactly how troubled our hearts would become. Jesus knew and understood perhaps better than any of us that in life's journey that we would be fraught with every kind of circumstance and situation that would come along. And Jesus looked at His disciples as He looks into all of our hearts and He says, listen just for a minute, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in Me. In My Father's house there are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there, future tense, hasn't done it yet. I am going there, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you also may be where I am. And by the way, you know the way to the place where I'm going, He says.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message on the return of Jesus Christ with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But Dr. Don wants us to remind you that we're here for you. It's not just a presentation, it's a conversation. And if there's something going on in your life, perhaps the study already has queried a unique question for you you'd like to ask us, we'll meet you on the phone right now at 866-899-WORD. We'd love to seek out the answers to those questions in the Bible itself, God's encouraging word. Just give us a call. Again, the number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or you can meet us online as well. Our website is tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. A great place to follow Dr. Wilton on his social media and also sign up for the daily encouraging word email from Dr. Don. That's all available online at tewonline.org. As a matter of fact, right now there's a wonderful resource featuring his good friend, Dr. Charles Stanley. Here's Liz with all the details about how you can have this resource today.
What's going on in your life today? Are you thinking about giving up? Don't give up. We cannot afford to be deterred on the Christian journey. Too much is at stake. This month, Dr. Wilton has two special resources to send you for your gift of support to the Encouraging Word. You will receive Dr. Wilton's inspiring message, Pressing Forward, along with Courageous Faith by Dr. Charles Stanley. Both of these ministry resources will help fortify your faith to stay the course on the Christian journey. Call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And request Pressing Forward and the bonus book, Courageous Faith, today. Thank you for supporting the Encouraging Word. We cannot fulfill our mission without you.
Now let's dive back into today's teaching, The Return of Jesus Christ and the Book of Acts Chapter 1 with Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word.
You know that because I've told you that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by Me. This is a clear promise. There have been times in my own life that I've made all kinds of promises to my children, and they'll come up to me and they'll say, "Now, Daddy, how about it? Let's do this or do that." And I'll say, "Well, no, we're not going to do it." And they look at me and they say, "But Dad, you promised." Do you know something? God never breaks His promise. God is not prone to the shortcomings of our humanity. And when Jesus said something, Jesus meant it. He's going to do it. It's a clear promise. Number two, it is a confirmed fact. Now, I read the passage in Acts chapter 1. I'm not going to read it again. But here in John chapter 14, Jesus makes a clear promise. In Acts chapter 1, it is a confirmed fact. Jesus actually ends up doing what Jesus said He was going to do. He followed up. He didn't just say this. Here He was standing on the Mount of Olives, and He turns to His disciples and He says, "All right, gentlemen, I'm about to do what I told you I was going to do. I'm going to ascend to be seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm going to make intercession for you. While I'm gone, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. You need to wait for Him to come. He's going to come in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 on the day of Pentecost. And while I'm gone, you wait. But I want you to know that I'm going to come back the same way that I left. So just watch out for me, because I'm coming soon." It is a confirmed fact. Number three, it is a comforting thought. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Everybody turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in the New Testament. It is a comforting thought. Now, folks, I want to show you something interesting here, and I want you to listen to this. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we are not dealing with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are dealing with the rapture of the church. Now, all watch me here. As soon as you've got that place in the Bible, this is very important. I'm going to try and explain it to you this morning. All right? This is the rapture of the church. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is going to come. At some time, the rapture of the church is going to take place. Everybody here, everybody worshiping on television today, everybody who's a believer in the entire world, when the rapture takes place, all believers are going to be snatched away. We're going to be taken away into the presence of the Lord. Now, where's Jesus going to be? He's going to be here in the heaven. We're going to see Him. You're going to see Him, but there's one difference. At the rapture, Jesus is not going to touch down on the earth. The rapture, the coming of our Lord at the rapture, is not the second coming. The rapture is when Jesus is going to come in the clouds and we're going to be caught up together with Him to meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the rapture of the church takes place, what happens upon the earth? Immediately there begins the 7-year tribulation, divided into 2 3.5-year periods. The Antichrist is going to rise up and be made known. He's going to take control. At the end of the tribulation period, Jesus Christ is going to come back again. That is the second coming. And when Jesus comes back again, I'm going to be with Him. And so are you, because you've given your heart to Jesus Christ. What an incredible thought. And we're going to come back with Him. And the second coming is the moment at which Jesus Christ, in all His glory, is going to come back. And this time He's actually going to land on the Mount of Olives, exactly the same place and in the same manner that He left us, according to Acts chapter 1. Now, next year, I'm going to be taking another group of our people to Israel again. Why? Because, folks, we're going to go and stand at the Mount of Olives. We're going to look over Jerusalem. We're going to have a look at what God's Word says about these extraordinary circumstances that are about to take place in the world in which we live. And so look here with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 14, for example, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have died in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have died in him. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and remain and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we forever be with the Lord. It is a comforting thought. Why? Look at verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The return of Christ. It is a clear promise. It's a confirmed fact. It is a comforting thought. But I also want to submit to you today, it is a purifying hope. Turn to 1 John. 1 John, just before the book of Revelation. As you know so well, there are four Johns in the Bible. There's one big John and three little Johns. I want you to turn to the first of the little Johns, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Now, folks, in my private study, this passage here got all over me. And at some time, I want to come back and I want to develop this and preach on it and do an adequate treatment of it. Listen to what the Bible says. Dear friends, verse 2, 1 John chapter 3. Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Jesus Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him, how? As he is. Everyone who has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself, just as God is pure. You see, if we're going to understand the return of Jesus Christ, we've got to understand that it is a purifying hope. God, by His grace, through this extraordinary event of the return of Christ, which is the coupling together of the rapture of the church when we will be caught up to meet Him in the air, and then the magnificent second coming, the return of Jesus Christ back to this earth to set up the 1,000-year reign and to bring to an end through the battle of Armageddon the complete defeat of Satan and all of his allies. God's word says, through this process, we are purified. This is part of God's sanctifying process in the life of a believer. But note finally, it is a compelling belief. It compels us. Turn with me to Titus, just a couple of pages back from James, Hebrews, and then you get to Titus, the small epistle of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Listen to what the Bible says. It is a compelling belief. Verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What does it do? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to me, friends, this morning. The return of Christ. What a remarkable subject. People, get ready. Why? Because it's a clear promise. Jesus said it. It is a confirmed fact. Jesus did it. It is a comforting thought. It is a purifying hope. And it is a compelling belief. I want to tell you, when I find myself falling, faltering, and failing in the presence of God, all I have to do is think about the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. You know what it does for me? It compels me. It gives me the strength to be able to say no. It enables me to go through the purifying process as I am being sanctified unto the day of God's salvation. That's what the return of Christ is all about. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Bow your heads with me this morning. Everybody, bow your heads. It's just wonderful. This is the most exciting thing that God could have ever told us. What about you today? I've concluded this message, but God hasn't concluded. You need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that today? If you turned your life over to Him, are you ready to settle your account with God?
That's the challenge, to settle accounts with God. you need to know that we're here for you. We'd love to talk with you and pray with you about that challenge. Our number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or you can meet us online at tewonline.org. That sense of settling your account is something the pastor is very passionate about. It. You've heard him preach about it. And now as he steps into the studio, open your heart to this challenge next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
Perhaps you just gave your life to Jesus Christ, praying along with Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word. Perhaps you rededicated your life. You need to know that we're excited and believe that God has equipped us with some resources that'll help you grow. They're absolutely free. Dr. Don has chosen these resources for you to have as you rebuild or as you start fresh with Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Would you give us a call and let us put these resources in your hands? Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather, we can connect on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. A great place to connect with many different resources, including the one you heard about earlier, featuring Dr. Don Wilton's good friend and his new book, Dr. Charles Stanley. Again, all the details are on our website at tewonline.org. And before we get away, closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, here I am again. What a day this has been. You know, one of the things I want to say to you is let's stay connected. You know, we've got so many means to be able to do that. You can write to us, email us. You got all the details right there in front of us. We're a family together. We stay connected in so many ways. And your life is very important to me. I see you there. And God shows me, and I want to be able to pray with you and connect with you and be a vital part of your relationship, your growth. Your needs are mine. I'm walking in your shoes, and I want to pray for you. Please don't stop. Call us, write us, keep praying, keep giving, keep connecting, keep rejoicing, keep celebrating, keep striving. God is on His throne. This is The Encouraging Word, and now you know why.
Our time's gone for today, but oh, tomorrow we begin a two-part series that's so important because all of us have dealt with loss, the idea of losing someone. Dr. Wilton shares from his personal experience in a message called I Will See Dad Again about the loss of his father, a great pastor and friend to the ministry, and many of you know his teaching as well, Brother John. You'll hear that message in its entirety tomorrow over the next couple of days. I hope you'll join us and bring a friend. Till then, let's stay connected online at tewonline.org.